You have promised in your word and you have said that we do not have to go up into heaven, or we do not even have to go down below the earth to search for it, but it is nigh unto us, even unto our mouths. I pray that that will be our experience indeed. For this is our prayer, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Our key text today comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. My husband was recently talking about this subject of the two covenants, and I remember after listening to him, I just told him, you know, you have just given me a very precious thought that I don't think you have handled, and if God gives me an opportunity, this is probably going to be a New Year's message. I didn't know I'll have an opportunity to speak earlier on in the year, and that is what we are going to look at today. The subject is better promises. Better promises. From the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. I will read. The Bible says, but now he, speaking of Christ, he has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For the Bible to say that Christ has become a mediator of a better covenant, it only implies that there was another covenant, true? But it also tells us that that covenant may not have been as good as the one that Christ is mediating upon. Our topic today is better promises. We are told that the covenant is not only better, but it has been established upon better promises. Let us continue reading on. In verse 7 it says, for if that first covenant, it is making a reference to a covenant that has existed before. He says, if that first covenant had not been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Essentially, the Bible is trying to say that there were faults, there were errors in the first covenant, and therefore God sought after another covenant, which the Bible in this juncture calls it the second covenant. Verse 8 continues on to say, for finding fault with them. Now, friends, what are we talking about? Them. Are we talking about people here, or are we talking about covenant here? For finding fault with them. If it was referring to the covenant, it would have said for finding fault with it. But we know it's not talking about the covenant. It is talking about something else. He says, let us continue on to read. We will know what was the fault and what is this them. And then when God found fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. The one that existed had errors, had faults, had issues. But a day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9 tells us, not a covenant that I made with them. Praise God. Not the covenant that I made with their fathers. So God found fault with the people, with them. Verse 8 references them so that then we can, verse 9 references them so that then we can know what God was talking about in verse 8 when he said them. He says, at now, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them. You know, some people usually read that verse, it says, oh, God found fault with the covenant. No. It continues to say the word them to show that he found fault with the people. What is our subject today? better promises, better promises. Verse 10 says, for this is the covenant. It says, there was a problem with that earlier covenant. And I had a problem, not with the covenant itself. I had a problem with the people. But now I am going to make a new covenant. This new covenant, we are told, has been established upon better promises. It is called, this is the covenant where today Christ is mediating in heaven, not in regard to the first covenant, but in regard to the new covenant, a better covenant upon better promises. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, I want us to go and observe. Now, follow me. I'm not going to actually take very long. Please follow me closely. You will see the connections very well. But I want us to go back and see the characteristics or what really entailed the old covenant. Why did God say, I've made a covenant, but hey, man, I don't like it. I have a problem with it. It has errors. It has issues. I'm going to scrape it off and I will establish a new one. What was the problem with the old one? The old one, we can find it in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Remember what God says? There is a covenant I established with them when I brought them out of Egypt. There is a covenant I put up together. And these were the details of that first covenant. Essentially, in the book of Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, we are told what are the ingredients. These are the ingredients. Obey my voice and keep my covenant. That I'm reading Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. It says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and it shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto thy children, unto the children of Israel. And God prepared them. He told them, I'm about to give you my covenant. I just need you to obey it and to keep it. Then he called them together and tell them, I want you to prepare and listen to the words of the covenant. What did he tell them to do? Wash your houses, wash your camps, wash yourselves, make your clothes very clean, and then come and meet me. You remember that story? They all came and met God at the foot of Mount Sinai. And when they came there, they shuddered when they heard the thundering and the lightning that was on the top of Mount Sinai. And they all trembled and they were scared. And remember what they did? They told Moses, you go ahead. Go ahead and speak for us. Go ahead and listen to our God. And then you come and tell us what you want, what God wants. So in chapter 20, God gives them the details of what it entails. Tells them, I want you to do all these things. I want you to follow this and I want you to follow that. And then the Bible continues on to tell us that Moses came and read all those things. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 24. I'm actually almost done with the sermon. You'll be surprised. I had him telling me you have 50 to an hour. But then I was like, it's a prayer Sabbath, not a preaching Sabbath. Praise God. All right, let us turn to the book of Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Just follow me closely. The Bible says that the covenant was read and was sealed. Let us read in verse 7. Verse 7 says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord had said, what shall we do? We will do and we will be obedient. Remember, God came and said, these are all the details of the covenant. These are all the details. And then the children of Israel said, we promise. Praise God. We promise that all that the Lord has said, we will do what? We will do. And Moses said, oh, okay, fine. Moses went and took what? He took blood, sprinkled it upon the people,
And he took that, that was the blood of the covenant that sealed the covenant. Then the covenant was sealed. That these people have made a promise to God that everything that he has said, oh God, have you told us to keep the Ten Commandments? We will do. Have you told us to look after our neighbors? Lord, all that you have said, we will do. Have you told us to make sacrifices to you? Lord, even that we will do. All indeed that the Lord had said, we will do. But friends, what happened? That was when the covenant was established. What happened? Not very many verses down the line in Exodus chapter 32. What do we find the children of Israel doing? Breaking every single word of those commandments. What were they doing? Worshipping the golden calf. Essentially breaking commandment 1, 2, and 3. Then after that, we know if you read the very details of what was happening in Exodus chapter 32, we are told that they rose up to play. The word to do games is that there was a lot of sexual immorality that was being practiced by those children. And we know, even before then, those people, they were threatening. If you read the story from Patriarchs and Prophets, they threatened to kill Aaron if he was not going to establish for them that golden calf, that system of worship. Already they were murderous people. They broke every set of that commandment. But remember, just a few verses before, they had promised and said, all that the Lord has said, we will do what? We will do. God said, I have found fault with them because their promises never hold. Their promises can never stay for so long. You make promises at the beginning, but before long, they are all broken. I have found fault with the people because this covenant has been established against promises that are weak, promises that are bad, promises that are poor. But the Lord has said, oh, I will establish a new covenant founded with the foundation of better promises. Not the promises of men that today are and tomorrow they are not. I will establish a new covenant with better promises. Better promises. The old covenant was obey and you will live. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 11, it says that if a man shall do all these things, he shall live in them. You know, and they will promise, God, you have said this, Lord, we shall do. Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 26, that cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words. All those people who do not confirm and do the words of the law. All were the characteristics of the old covenant. Why? Because the promise was, everyone said, Lord, we shall do whatever you have said. But God said, I will establish a new covenant. Friends, let me tell you something. Don't you think that many of us are living within the tenets of the old covenant? Lord, you have, I promise you, beginning of this year, I will do. Lord, beginning of this year, I will follow my devotional template. Praise God. Lord, beginning of this year, I will be prayerful. Lord, beginning of this year, I will no longer watch movies. Why? You've gone through 10 days of prayer. And every day you have been making promises to God. Is it within the old covenant or within the new covenant? Are you making promises and telling God, God, all that you have said, Lord, we will do. Let me tell you, friends, come February, many of you, we will come and analyze all the things that you have promised God, and you will be like the children of Israel who said all that the Lord had said we will do. But come chapter 32, February 22nd, you will have forgotten all the exercise or the health meals you said that you're going to obey. Lord, I will never wear those clothes again. Lord, I will never watch or listen to that music. Lord, I promise I will come early to church. Ah, the promises of the old covenant. But God knew, and God knows, that the promises of men cannot last long. The Bible says to Christ, page 47, paragraph 1. The Bible asks, desire to give yourself to him. but you are weak in moral power. You are in slavery to doubt. You are controlled by the habits of your life of sin. God, I know. I know what WhatsApp does to me. I will stay away. Oh, but Lord, the temptation. It is just a drug. It controls me. Lord, you know I want to avoid these YouTube channels, but I am under the control of these things. Lord, I know I need to avoid Netflix, but Lord, you know you are under the control of those habits of your life of sin. Lord, I know you told me I shouldn't dress this way, but Lord, look at this dress. It's so pretty. My Lord, look. Your promises, it says, and resolutions are like ropes of sand. January 1st, I'm sure many of you committed many things. I'm sure even during these 10 days of prayer, you are, Lord, keep me away from this temptation. Lord, let your will be done in my own life. Lord, all those promises you are told and those resolutions, they are like ropes of sand. Because they are after the fashion of the old covenant. You cannot control your thoughts, continues on to say, your impulses, your affections, and the knowledge of your broken promises. You remember all the resolutions you made last year, and then you came back to the end of the year and you're like, Lord, I'm just the same person. You remember all the promises you have given God many years ago, and you're coming now. This is, how many 10 days of prayer sessions have you attended? And now you remember all the commitments you family now. Day one, day two, day three, that story is gone. We've forgotten about them. All the broken promises. Now some of you are like, I give up. I was seated with a few colleagues this week and I asked them, I like asking people this, do you have resolutions for this year? And they said, all the ladies had resolutions. All of them. As I say, I'll read more this week. This year, I'm doing one book a month. Someone else said, I've realized I will stop. I cannot read anymore. I've tried many years. Now, this year, I will be listening to Audible. I read so many books through Audible. You know, people came and said, I will be walking 10,000 steps every day because I need to make sure I keep fit. Some people said, this month I will be vegan. Someone else said, this whole year I will be dry. I'm like, what does dry mean? I'll not take alcohol the whole year. You know, everyone had their own. Then I asked the gentleman, what about you? I started with the first. He's like, you know, I'll just continue on with the year. We'll just see what the year has to bring. Another one, you know, my wife is pregnant. Let's just see what comes around. I don't have any. No man had any resolutions or goals. I was actually confused. What is happening? What is happening to them? But I realized maybe men and women work or think differently. You know, at the beginning of the year, I sat down and I said, oh, these are all my goals for this year. And I remember sitting with my husband, I was like, what do you think of my goals? And I gave him a long list. Then I looked at his list, very minimal, just a few short things. But I had a long list of very many. People work differently. But then some have stopped even considering. Why? Because all the broken things they have seen, they have been disappointed. They say, you know that meme that goes on, people who go to the gym regularly, they don't go to the gym in January. Why? Because it will be crowded by New Year's resolutions. They will start going in February when everyone else has dropped off and now they can continue with their journey. Many people desire, but they are weak in moral power. The old covenant. The Bible says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. He is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. What is this new covenant with better promises? What were these promises? Remember, in the old, men promised. In the old, men made resolutions. In the old, men said, Lord, let your will be done. In the old, men said the many things that they will do. Let us look at the new. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Are you there? Jeremiah 31, verse 33. I'll read verse 33 and 34. The Bible says, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." I, who is making the promise now? It is God, because the promises of men are like ropes of sand. I can assure you, your resolutions are like ropes of sand. But God has said, I will be the one to put my law in your inward parts. I will be the one to write it in your hearts. I will be the one to forgive your iniquity. And I will remember your sin no more. Let us look at it again from another angle. The book of Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Better promises. Not the promises of men, which begin in chapter 24, they look amazing. In chapter 32, they are gone. In January, they are amazing. Everyone is crushing it. Then let us wait for February. Say, the year has become old, you know, and then say, it's fine, I'll try again next year. You go back to your old habits. Then we forget again. Are you there? In verse 25, I am reading. The Bible says, these are the tenets of the new covenant. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and it shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you. I know you cannot even, let me tell you, you think you can observe health reform. I know you cannot. I will cause you to do that. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Francis, not the promises of men. And God is not man that he should lie. God is faithful. Better promises. Yours are weak. The flesh indeed cannot allow you to live within the new covenant. Many of us have been living within the old covenant. I remember asking my husband towards the end of last year, like, do you think I've been living within the old covenant? Do you think there are rules I set up in my life? And then I keep breaking them. You know, there's a time when I got married, my husband told me this thing. He's like, you have set a standard so high for yourself that it stresses you that you cannot achieve it. It stresses me that I cannot. It's so high. Even for me, it's high. At least some of you say, hey, it just has standards. My husband will tell you that I cannot even achieve that standard. It's so high and I'm stressed. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Let us stand there. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Are you there? The Bible says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. And by the way, I know there are some people here, Kisses and Luos, who say, us, we were never Gentiles. Us, we are Israelites. Everyone else who has come in are there. Someone ever told me that, so. I'm not being tribal. I'm just saying someone ever told me that, you know, just you are Gentile and you've come in to the church as we were. No, you are all Gentiles. Praise God. And ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which flesh made by hands, that at that time, and let me tell you, friends, Paul is speaking about physical circumcision. But let me tell you, God cares about the circumcision of the heart. And that is the new covenant of that one of the heart, not of the flesh, because this flesh is weak. He says, that time, those people who are living within that old covenant, they were without Christ. being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, the promises of God. Listen to these people who are living in the old covenant, making resolutions and promises to God at the beginning of the year. They have no hope and they are without God in the world. No hope completely. Can I tell you why they have no hope? Because Christ is not mediating over the old covenant. Christ is the mediator of the new. I want to invite you, friends, to enter within the new covenant with better promises, not relying on your strength to achieve all the things that you have set out as goals or standards, but relying on God alone and having faith in the promise of His word, that what which He has said, He will do. That He Himself, oh my goodness, some of you have been saying, Lord, I promise you I will not ever look at those things again. I will never fornicate. God is like, wait, I have a better promise. I myself will create enmity within your heart against that sin. You're just thinking that I will never think about that. You will look at that sin and hate it. Better promises. Some of you have said, oh my Lord, this new year, help me to work very hard so that I can get a job once I graduate. God is like, wait, I have a better promise. I will give you dominion over the earth and that which is above or on the seas. Better promises. You know, some of you are like, Lord, you know what? Everyone hates me. Everyone dislikes me. Lord, just look at me. I will just try to live my life, even with my low self-esteem, and keep away from people. God is like, wait, I have a better promise. In that place where you were called forsaken, I will give you a new name. Better promises. Some people are here and they have said, Lord, my family, where I come from, I am the only hope. I am the only one who can set it up well. Everyone is either a drunkard or lost. God is like, wait, I have a better promise. Those children who have been cast away, I will bring them back to the land. And I will reconcile children to their fathers and fathers to their children. Better promises. Friends, the new covenant is not about man. For there is nothing good in man, and our flesh will keep us dragging us down to sin. 2024, 2025, until Christ comes. But if we enter into the promise of the new covenant, friends, let me tell you, temptations, when I was reading about people who have lived within the new covenant, favorites, at least this year, is Enoch. You can tell I'm in the resolutions headspace, eh? Because I make them seriously. You know, and I was reading about Enoch. You know, the Bible tells us, Enoch, by faith, he had faith in God and he had this testimony that he pleased who? He pleased God. And then the next verse just tells us, oh, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch had faith in the promises, not of himself, of God. Spirit of prophecy writes and says that there has never been and there will never be a time of moral darkness like the time when Enoch lived. You think, by the way, the world is going to become more morally sinful than now? It can never be compared to the time when Enoch lived. Yet that man had faith in the promises of God that amidst that wickedness, he can walk faithfully. Why? Not his promises, friends. Better promises. You know, I was telling God, what does it mean? By the way, this man. I was like, Lord, and I asked, what does it mean to walk a sinless life every day? And I remember telling God, give me this one day. One day alone. I'm not thinking of the rest of the year.
one day. And I began to do account, ask my husband. I told him at the end of January, and I don't think I've committed any sin. And I asked God for one day. Day two, I was like, love. Day two, and I don't think I remember any sin that I've committed in these 2 days. It's like I'm walking in the atmosphere of heaven. Day five, I had said I will never gossip in 2025. And someone brought a conversation. I was like, oh yeah, they did that. Really? I was like, ah, it's all gone. It's all gone. I was on a perfect streak until day five. And then I asked, how did Enoch manage not 5 days, not 360 days, but 300 years? 300 years working with God. And umeshindwa na 10 days. 10 days. The man did 300 years. And I told God, let us just try. I'm not asking for Enoch's 300, because either way I won't live that long. I'm asking for the 360 of this year. Let me walk with you. Based on better promises. Yours and not mine. Friends, I invite you to enter into the new covenant. Trusting not in your own strength in this year, but trusting in God's strength alone. For therein are the best of promises. May God bless you.